Welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Sponsored by Reinhold Flooring.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
And good morning, good Saturday. Oh my, it's a hot one. Off we run here. Well, let's not run. Let's just kind of walk carefully in the shade. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, 2 hours, Cardinal baseball coming up after the show, all kinds of things happening right here. And we are going to talk about you, your topic, and anything else you want to talk about related to your home. This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show. My name is Scott Mosby. I am today's phone operator, connecting all our best ideas, question answers, experiences. When I run out of gas and can't answer a question, we've got pros driving around listening, part of the KMOX listening audience and family. They call in and, you know, give us the chapter and verse for those experienced contractors that typically out running around on Saturdays looking at work, picking up lumber, building materials, whatever it is. So the point being that we've got what you need right here on KMOX. It may be beyond me, but as we are a family, I promise we're going to get you taken care of and answered the best we can. Not everything is within my purview. I'm a good generalist, which means I know a little bit about a lot. And I don't really know a lot about a little. So that I'm not really a specialist. I'm not going to take you way down into, grounding of electrical outlets, how to plumb or code out something. I just have exposure to many trades over many years, and I've seen things that once were acceptable, no longer acceptable. I'm a why guy. I want to know why that was changed, what got better, what got worse, who the interested parties are in what that is. For example, we've got a coming refrigeration change here, refrigerant that is coming into our market. You'll hear more about that. You may, if you're in the market for an air conditioner or a furnace, you're hearing that right now. I know of this issue. I can't get down too deep into it. Just be aware that we had the refrigerate, the R22 back when. That was not good for the ozone. We went to another one for about the last 10 or 15 years. Now we've got a new one coming in here. Just be aware. Things change. Always evolve. Sometimes forward, sometimes backwards. A perfect example would be the water conserving toilets. Water's a big deal on our planet. It's not for us. We're in St. Louis. Our problem is floods. When water comes, it comes in buckets full. So all of that is important, but keep in mind, so Congress went in, they passed water conservation because as a nation, we need to conserve water. Big deal. Well, maybe not so much so in St. Louis, but so we had this 1.6 gallon flush, and the manufacturers weren't really ready. They hadn't geared up. They hadn't done the research and the engineering on all of that. So again, sometimes the need outstrips the research and development. Sometimes the research and development is out in front of the need. A perfect example might be the Apple iPhone. Did you ever imagine you were going to need one of these things when we're back, looking at personal assistance, 25, 30 years ago? So again, all these things kind of tie in. Anyway, my name is Scott Mosby. I own Mosby Building Arts. We're on our 75th year. Very proud to serve the listening audience of KMOX and the Midwest. It's a fun business. My father founded the company in 1947. And I remember even as a kid, it was kind of neat. He was inside, he was outside, he's working with architects, he's working with tradesmen, he's working with heavy equipment. And then he goes in on permitting, understanding what the building codes are, why we do it this way. And then he had some of his own ideas and all of this. So I've been exposed to a lot in my years, and I'm here to share it with you on KMOX. Phone lines for you. Here it is. Write it down if you don't know it, although it hasn't changed in a very long time. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Lots of things happening around St. Louis. Stay tuned. We've got Cardinal baseball coming up at 2:10 today, the pregame show. After this show at 1 o'clock will be your retirement professional, so stay tuned to an afternoon of fun. Cards versus the Pirates. We're A little bruised from, you know, last night, but so be it. Let's get in with the first caller here. Scott Mosby here. Glad to be back. Let's talk to my friend Barb. Hey, Barb, good morning. Thanks for getting us going on KMOX. How can I help?
I have a bathtub that drains really slow. And I've taken, like, the little grid off and, you know, those things you put down in them. But it still drains slow. Sometimes I put vinegar down and that opens the drain a little bit.
Yeah. Well, here's likely what's happening. So shampoo and bar soap both have binders in them, kind of like wax, if you will. Paraffin is in bar soap. So that stuff sticks to the pipes. Then you get some hair going down there, and the hair sticks to that. Well, that's kind of a low-grade concrete, so that serrated thing you stick down there, that's the good first step. However, the goo is still kind of there, so you pull the fibers out the hair, but you can still have a good bit of goo in there. Sometimes it just behooves you, if you can get to it. Is there a wall on the opposite side of that hot and cold faucet that a plumber could come in, might have an access panel from the backside there?
There is. That's my other bathroom backs up to it, and we've actually had to cut a hole in that to get to the tub from time to time.
Yeah, you may be ready for a plumber for that. This is also something that you can kind of do with the Rid-X over time, but it'll take a long time. Once you get to a blockage point, Rid-X is not a drain opener. It is a drain gook digester. So, you know, a little bit once a month for into perpetuity, it'll keep this thing kind of from happening. But anyway, that's kind of the ticket. I think you're looking for... you know, literally a drain opening, and there's it's usually in the first 12 to 15 inches. So if you can get that serrated thing, can you get that down the drain, you know, a foot?
See, the thing is, like, there's a little grate over it. I unscrew that and take it off, and it only goes down. It's the whole the opening is too small for, you know, the thing that you flip to open and close the tub.
It's too small
to even get that thing down in there.
Yeah, it's an inch and a quarter, and it goes straight down, and then it kind of drains in a T. It's hard to get it. Anyway, I think you're going to need a plumber to open this thing up.
Boy.
You know, it's, you know, just kind of is what it is. It's if you know what you're doing, you can get to it. If you don't know what you're doing, you can make things worse really fast.
Believe me, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, good. Well, then you know how to call a plumber.
Yeah, I do know how to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for your help.
Okay, Barb, take care. And once you get it open, that's where I would advise, you know, like once a month, just dump your Rid-X down. It's like making chocolate milk. Comes in a powdered form or a liquid form. I just take, you know, basically I'm an early morning riser, get up with coffee, I make my coffee, and it's like, oh, you know, it's been a while since I did this, and I pull out the Rid-X and I mix it up like chocolate milk in a big glass of warm water. And I dump it down it. You know, shower drain, I dump it down the tub, I dump it down, I flush it down the toilets and all that. And typically I do that in the morning, but then I'll also leave it overnight, because all this stuff is, you know, this is just an enzyme that makes the bacteria digest more of the gook. So any organic waste, it will digest. So it kind of cleans the gook off the side of your pipes, which sounds like a pretty good deal to me, trying to get everything to flush down the pipe. Anyway, 314-436-7900. My name is Scott Mosby. I'm truly at your service. Glad to be back. I'll be in the seat here for several more weeks. Thank you, thank you, thank you to my cohort, Rich Orris of Mosby Building Arts. Somebody I trust, he knows some stuff. So glad to have him sit in my absence, and I can trust him with the answers shared. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Scott Mosby at your service. I'll be right back. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, KMOX, live and lively. We are on. Phone lines open for you. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. Next up, my friend Nancy. Nancy Scott here. Good morning. How can I help you this fine Saturday
morning? Good morning. We have a concrete back porch, which is attached to the house. And it's about 8 feet by 9.5 feet, and on the one side it's 13 inches high. And it's as old as our house, which is 70 years old, and it has begun to sink. And it sank about 4 inches, and it's pulling away from the brick of the house. And it's leaning on the one side where it sank the most, right towards my window well. And when it rains, the water runs off the porch towards my window well, and now it's starting to come in the foundation of my basement wall. And it also has a deep, big crack down the middle and various uneven cracks as you come out the back door. So someone told me to have the polyjack method done to raise it up. So that's my question. What do you think about the polyjacking method, and what would it do to those existing cracks as it lifts it up?
Polyjack is for raising concrete that is in good condition or not really cracked. So primarily it's for a big slab. It can and it will lift that concrete steps up, and it'll lift it back up because when it's very low pressure, it even that 10 by 12, so you've got 120 square feet times 12 inches per square, or 144 times, 20, you know, basically 100, you've got thousands of square inches, 3 PSI pounds per square foot over thousands of inches, you can raise 3,000 pounds very easily. So the point being is you can do this. It will work. The problem is on 70-year-old concrete, my advice is don't waste your money.
Really? Have it chopped out and have a new concrete porch put in?
Yeah, if you were around 20, 25, 30 years and you had some cracks, some of this is – so I'd start, frankly, with a concrete contractor. They're hard to get. This is a relatively, kind of small project, if you will, compared to larger ones. So it's kind of hard to get a good concrete guy to come in and tear this thing out. But over 70 years, the soil has settled near your foundation. So that's a totally separate issue that the tear out will address. They'll put sub-base in and they'll compact the stuff. They'll look at how the water is getting in, why this thing is moving, how it connects or doesn't to the house, and then they form up and pour a new one. It's kind of a big deal. That's a big porch. So you're into some real dollars. This one's going to hurt. And now, if you do polyjacking, you will buy time. So it will bring it back up. And your point is, if you do have a crack, unlikely that whole thing cracks all the way through. It likely has steel in it, so you can lift it up. The problem is you're going to have, several thousand dollars that could have been put toward another 70 years of your concrete steps. You see what I mean? If you just don't have the money for 2 or 3 years, you can do the polyjacking because it will work. Or at least, the people that come out to look at it, they're pretty savvy at like, as we lift it, we're probably going to split this thing, that. So they're pretty savvy about what they're looking at. But when you get concrete, driveway, sidewalk, patio that's 70 years old, Mother Nature, our weather is just not kind to concrete that lays on the ground, even up in the air like your steps. So if it were mine, I'd start with the replacement and work back. But you're going to have a, come to Jesus moment, as I call it, when, you get a price on that thing.
Yeah. Because like I say, if it does make those cracks bigger as it lifts up, then I probably would have to have somebody come out and resurface and level out the cracks to even, repaint the porch or something.
Right. So that, let's pretend you do that. Next winter, when the rain or the snow gets into that crack and that crack repair, it'll pop back out. So 18 months from now, that crack repair is now spalled and broken and laying on the ground next to your porch. Just the freeze-thaw cycles with the water, because it just takes a little bit of water to soak in on the two sides of that crack patch. And there are very effective crack patches. They just don't do well outdoors in the element. They do just fine in the summer, but our winters just tear concrete apart. And, that's Mother Nature's job, is to grind us all back into dust, whether you're a limestone mountain or granite or us,
Yeah. Okay, well, I think you answered my question.
I didn't say you'd like me. I just said I'd give you the truth.
Different outcome, but...
Yeah, and have your eyes wide open as you go in, because most of these concrete guys, they really know their business. The mudjackers guys do too, and I don't have too much experience with. I have experience with people having different philosophies of how to go at it. Like me, I'm 70 years old. It's like you're just at the end of the lifespan of concrete at 70. So my bias is, save your money. Go ahead and fix it, because sometimes in the next 5 years you're going to replace those steps. So whether you spend $3,000 on the way to do that, you could basically put that $3,000 toward the real. So I have a bias of lifespan and just kind of by the numbers, and you'll find that the concrete guys do too, and the okay. But
you don't have any recommendations on concrete people, do you?
Yes, I do. I'm going to ask you that you call my office. We do business with a whole bunch of concrete guys. I advertise and endorse B&W Concrete, which I do ads for, and I don't advertise for anybody that doesn't do a good job. It's just, my reputation's worth more than that. So, my bias is give B&W a call. May take a while to get them out there because this is their busy season. They're very good, high demand, and they'll do it right. And they'll tell you the truth, kind of like me. You may not like what they say, but, you can count on that they're shooting you straight.
Right. Oh, great. I'm glad I called and talked to you then. I will give B&W a call.
All right, take care, and good call. I mean, this is a great Camo X question because it gets to repair or replace, which then on the consumer level is, I don't want to spend any more than I have to. How much, when, is this thing dead on arrival, or, can I breathe life back into it with mud jacking? Because, both contractors are effective at what they do. Is the concrete strong enough and long-lasting enough to be worth that investment? I doubt it. There you go. All right, Scott Mosby, Home Improvement. Thank you so much for listening. I enjoy being here. I kind of miss my Saturdays when I'm away, even though, all those things. One of my forays here was going to the Kentucky Derby. Oh, boy, howdy, that was an experience, And anyway, we'll get into that later. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Let's get talk to my friend Jason. Hey, Jason, good morning. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help you this fine day?
Good morning. I've got a storm door that the wind kind of caught, and it popped a hinge. The storm door is only like 3 years old, but I'm wondering if it's easier to replace the hinge rail, because I cannot find a hinge to match my storm door. There's like five hinges on the door.
Yeah, I know. Here's the deal. The cost of that storm door is equal to about the cost of finding that rail, because handling, identifying, pulling it off, putting it up back on, in today's manufacturing process, it's like windows. You can't replace, in a new engineered window of high energy, you can't really take the glass out and put it back in, because they manufacture the sash around the glass. Likewise for that storm door, it is, that whole unit is put together in a factory, and buying a part, yes, you can, and it will take you 8 months just to figure out how to order that thing. If you can find somebody that will ship it to you, and then you have to pull the door off, change the hinge and the rail. So theoretically, it is possible, but unlikely that you're going to get parts like that.
So it's not as easy as just popping out the hinge and buying one.
That may be. If you can get a hinge like that, that may be. And one of the issues, if you can find, and the problem is, a lot of these storm door guys, their parts department has door latches and door knobs and keepers and screw packs, but I doubt that they're going to have a hinge rail or a hinge. Your highest probability is finding a damaged door like that, where you can literally go in kind of like a junkyard and go get your own hinge. That'll take you a lot less time identifying, you see what I mean? Go to the place where you bought the door and say, hey, here's what I'm looking for, and turn it to somebody, because the toughest part in today's international manufacturing world is, parts are grotesquely expensive, because the amount of labor just to handle your hinge might be $3 to $5, but it may take, 8 to 12 man hours to get that hinge to you. So, you know, even if you get it, you know, it would cost you $200. The company can't sell it for $200, so they're not even going to offer it. It just costs too much
handling
to make it. Yeah. It's like buying a new car at the auto parts store. You know, that $30,000 car now is $150,000 when you buy every piece individually because of the amount of effort, time, and shipping and labeling and computer, you know, it's like, ah, phooey, you know.
Gotcha.
If you can do this yourself,
well, thank you, sir.
It is exactly as you're expecting, but finding that thing is the challenge.
Okay, I didn't know if there was like a universal hinge that you could get for most storm doors, because I don't even know what kind of storm door I have, if it's a Larson or an Anderson, I don't know.
Well, there is, I know you got other callers. There is or there was a company called Genesco, G-E-N-E-S-C-O, Genesco. I'm not even sure whether they're around. Take a look, look them up, and see if you can find them. They were, their deal was, and this is, you know, from, you know, 60 years ago down to 10 or 5 years ago, every time a window company went out of business, they'd go into the warehouse and say, you know, I'll give you $30,000 for the whole stock, all of it. You know, so they'd buy $500,000 for 30. Well, so then they had the parts because they knew once that company goes out of business, you and I can't get them anymore, even if they're available. So try Genesco, G-E-N-E-S-C-O. And if anybody has it, they would. And if anybody knows how to get it, they might.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Have a good day. Yep.
All right. Take care, Jason. Good luck, friend. 314-436-7900-800. Well, never mind. That's a form of habit. We no longer have a toll-free. Scott Mosby here, Home Improvement. We are at your service right here on University of Kansas.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Sponsored by Reinhold Flooring.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, a hot one today. Hot, 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 hot. Here's the weather forecast. Open the window, stick your head outside, see what it is. It's hot. And then tomorrow, same forecast. Anyway, 314-436-7900, put it together. And we are live and lively talking about all things related to your home. Let's get up and talk to my friend Chris. Hey, Chris, good morning. Welcome. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning, Scott. I have got a couple of different questions. The first one I'll ask so I don't forget it, but you brought up the topic of Red-X and all of that. And I have a lagoon for my sewage treatment, and I was pouring the Red-X directly in there. Mm-hmm. But then what you said now kind of makes sense, and it sounds like I need to make a mix of it and then just walk around the house and pour it down all the drains, the showers, and the toilets and everything, and put some amount in there, and then it'll probably go down and feed the lagoon by itself.
Yeah. You have two kind of things. Number one, Red-X is made for your lagoon, for a septic tank, and all it does is make the bacteria really happy so that it eats and digests more solid waste. And, you know, that's what MSD does, treating all of our black water and sewage. So it's the same thing in your lagoon. Personally, for that one, with that big volume of water, you know, I'd mix a whole thing in a 5-gallon bucket, and I'd give it a fling out into that pond, you know, that lagoon, because it takes a lot of that stuff to affect tens of thousands of gallons in a lagoon. So that's one thing that's separate. The Red-X that I'm advocating is exactly the same product, but I really don't want it flushing through your pipes. I want it to sit still in your pipes overnight and eat the stuff off the inside of your drainage pipes. You follow? So, what you're saying will work, but you're doing it in such small quantities that, you know, you're really not going to supercharge that lagoon with the small quantity it takes to clean out a 4-inch, 3-inch, 2, or inch and a half. You know, I mean, those things are, they're really small amounts. And frankly, when I dump it in a sink drain, you know, I just run the water for about 2 to 4 seconds, just enough to get that past that P-trap and down on those pipes, and then I stop. And, you know, then on a toilet, I'll dump a little in the toilet, flush the toilet, and then ideally leave it alone overnight so that it sticks in the pipes, cleans the pipes, because, you know, frankly, MSD does a great job. They don't really need our Red-X. They don't care. They do, you know, chemical tests every hour, really. But for your lagoon, you know, I'd really put a quantity into that.
Yeah, and I was actually thinking that it would, I would like to clean the, I replaced the pipes from the house to the lagoon, which was about, I think it was a 250-yard run, or feet run.
That's a long time.
And I had a friend who had a backhoe and knew what he was doing, so
yeah.
We got that all done. So, yeah, I need to get that. I wasn't using that much in the lagoon, so I'm just going to start taking a box a month or so and throwing it in and mixing it up and throwing it in there.
Yeah, and you can't hurt the stuff. It's just bacteria. You know, it's the same stuff. That's, you know, you don't shower for a week, you have too much bacteria, it's just bacteria that digest solid waste in a lagoon, septic tank, or, you know, MST treatment plant. They just do a high-tech version of what this stuff is.
Okay. Well, the second question was, I had a older, what my neighbor called a frog pond, where it would fill up and drain and fill up and drain. And I dug that out deeper, and now I want to put a pond in a pasture. I just stopped at the farm store out here near Washington and asked them about bentonite.
Yeah.
And they were saying to mix it in with the top 4 inches of soil and all that. Does that all, and then like take a roller. I got a roller I can hook up to a tractor. If I leave the dig it right, I could get in and out. Are there any other things that you can think of I should think about in building a pond like that?
Absolutely. First off, bentonite, it will work. It'll be, you know, pretty pricey to line a pond with it. Either the Department of Natural Resources or there are state agencies that are made for this to help farmers put in farm ponds. They will visit your site. They will review the pond area with you. They will test the soil, and they will answer all your questions basically for nothing, because they just don't want farmers messing this stuff up. They want the resources of our farmers to be, you know, used successfully. I don't think it's Department of Ag. I think it's like Department of Natural Resources. And the deal they may make with you is that you need to stock the pond and make it open and available for public fishing 4 days a year, 12 days, whatever. So, you know, they don't care that your pond is inaccessible to the public. They, you know, their deal is, how do we drive natural, wildlife in our country? I think you've got a pretty qualified free consultant if you'll do a little research on this, because these guys are around that do it, and it's Missouri State or Illinois State, whichever one you're in, both of them will review this pond and help you. They won't design it or draw plans for you, but they'll say, yeah, this is a pretty good place for a pond. Your soil is terrible. It's all clay. You do have to line it, or you don't have to line it, or whatever it is, but they're pretty good at this stuff.
Yeah, if it's all clay, that's probably a good thing, right?
Yeah. It can be and it can't be. Clay is kind of a version of bentonite is a version of clay. You know, it's a type of swelling clay that just expands and blocks air voids in the soil. So that's kind of what bentonite is. It's pricier, and there may be other better liners for your pond, but, you know, then you get stock ponds, you know, you get cattle walking out there in their hooves and all that, you can poke right through other kinds of liners. So I'm pretty sure it's Department of Natural Resources. And if nothing else, you can go to something, one of the phone areas or, one of the parks typically has something like that.
Yeah. I had them come out and look at my existing lake, and I can't remember now the name of it either. Now, the one thing the guy did tell me, which was interesting, was because I asked him everybody was like, you can get free fish from the state. And he goes, no, not since the 1990s. Yeah. We killed that program. So I'm like, oh, okay. But I guess for the free help, they want you to at least open it up to the public for fishing and stuff. So anyway, I can do that.
Yeah, you don't have to publicize it. Nobody ever really finds out. They just, you know, they want to see you. It's a natural resource, and the more of those things we have, you know, whether it's just you and your family, you know, they want, you know, if it's your money, they want to see you successfully put in a nice pond. So yeah, give those guys a call, see what you've got. I think that's well, especially if you've already had them come out, you'll figure out who it is. They'll come back and help you put another one in. Okay, Scott Mosby, Home Improvement. I'll take a short pause and come back for more right here on University of KMOX.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Sponsored by Reinhold Flooring.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, Scott Mosby here. Phone lines open, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. We are live and lively. Hour two coming up after news, weather, and sports, top of the hour. Then we've got your retirement professionals here at 1 o'clock following this show. And then 210, the Cardinal pregame show, as we go up against the Pirates again today. So hopefully we do better. Home prices. Home prices rose again in March. Yeah. I mean, granted, we're through the end of May and we're now into June, but that's kind of the lag that really, and this is the Case-Shiller National Home Price Index, which kind of comes out of, it's kind of, anyway, it tracks home prices on supply and demand. It also tracks supply and demand in the remodeling industry, which is something we're involved with, kind of a subset of this Case-Shiller. It's the Harvard Center for Housing Studies, and we serve in a subcommittee of that, at least people from our company at Mosby Building Arts. The point being here that in the world where interest rates are rising and the Federal Reserve Bank is putting the brakes on the economy, trying to slow it down to moderate our inflation, the issue is now that interest rates are, you know, near 6% and mortgage rates are up in that area, that people don't, you know, we're sitting on, a lot of us sitting on 2 and 3% mortgages, you know, 3.5%, 4%, some pretty affordable mortgages. Golly, if I sell my home and I move to another one, I lose that 3% mortgage and I buy a new house for a 6%. I don't think I want to do that. So there are not many houses for sale. And building materials are still pricey. The lumber index now, the lumber futures for June delivery is now $481 per 1,000 board feet, or 48.1 cents per 12 by 12 by 1-inch thick board. So the point being is that stack of building materials is getting more valuable as well. But home prices rose in March, as reported in the Wall Street Journal, but it's really through the Standard & Poor's CoreLogic Case-Shiller National Home Price Index, which measures home prices. And basically, the bottom line is, nobody's selling their home. So when you and I go to look for a new house, we're in the market for a house, maybe we're getting transferred, moving, or moving to a different school district, different neighborhood, whatever it is, nobody's selling anything. So supply and demand, as there's a dropping supply, then pricing to try and garner the few homes that are for sale, those prices are going up. So interesting, in a time, and this is what the Federal Reserve Bank's really up against, and this is kind of me, the armchair economist, trying to figure this out, because, you know, our business, Mosby Building Arts, we're in the market of selling assembled building materials. So our cost for lumber, our cost for copper pipe, our cost for labor, our cost for gasoline, cost for trucks, all the stuff it takes to haul this stuff to your home, assemble it, put it together, finish it off, paint it out, and, you know, and make it just the way you want it. You know, we're buying a boatload of stuff and trying to moderate the purchase of those prices. Well, as building materials continue to remain, you know, high priced because of the inflation, now homes likewise are reflecting that scarcity of product and higher prices as well. So I found that interesting because, you know, the number of home sales are dropping. There aren't, you know, I mean, there's not a whole lot of demand at 6% interest rates for mortgages. But for those that are looking, they're still paying a premium on homes in the desirable areas that, you know, everybody wants to live or whatever it is. And that's largely, you know, the public school system. If you have a strong public school, you have a strong community. So that's kind of the thing. But it's interesting that I noticed, and I want to take you through this, you know, certainly my life, my job, my business is all around this. The lumber futures, so we're at 480, or, you know, 48 cents a board foot. We were exactly at the same place in mid-February for March delivery. So we're now in June delivery, $481 per thousand. And then back even in September of 2022, we're at $485. Yeah, so interesting that lumber futures are still kind of moderating around there. Demand remains pretty high because remodeling homes is still in favor, because you can put an addition on, you can do your kitchen, you can do your bath, you can do all those things, and you don't have to really go back in to get to refinance the home with your first mortgage. It's like, you know what, I'll just buy, you know, I'll borrow my money with a second mortgage or a line of credit, and I'm just going to do this kitchen or this bathroom because it needs to be addressed, and I'm not going to move for a while. So it's interesting, the dynamics of all of that watching as our central bank for the United States, you know, is pulling the levers and trying to affect things. And it's kind of a blunt instrument that they're using. As smart as they are, I find it very interesting that, material products prices remain high. Demand for houses is fairly low, yet prices are high. That's really counterintuitive. So, you know, our Federal Reserve Bank in St. Louis, we've got an awesome Federal Reserve Bank. I'm quite a fan of the folks at the St. Louis Federal Reserve Bank, because we have, in my mind, we have overperformers. These guys are really smart, you know, the men and women there. So anyway, my point is that, interesting enough, fewer home buyers are looking for homes. Those that are finding homes, the prices are still very high, inordinately high, because there's no supply. Interesting how that is. So as it relates to you and I going into, you know, Home Depot, Lowe's, whatever lumber yard we're choosing to go in for our supplies, the hardware stores, those materials typically are still in demand, and the prices remain pretty high. Anyway, so 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Just be aware that that's affecting the housing market, and that's affecting the remodeling market as well. And I will say, the one thing I'm noticing in Mosby Building Arts is that the better tradesmen, the talented tradespeople, are experiencing a time when their wages are increasing, because they too are in short supply. So it's interesting that our recruiting efforts, being a pretty highly rated employer, we're getting better tradesmen congratulations to those that are part of Mosby Building Arts. 314-436-7900. Put it together here. We are live and lively. Let's see what's happening with my friend Jim. Hey, Jim, good morning. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help?
Yeah, Mr. Mosby.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. In our laundry room, periodically, we'll get like a gas sewer smell. I've been up on the roof, looked down through both vent pipes, and I can see down about 5 feet, and then it makes a turn, and that's clear from the roof down there.
Yeah.
I've tried spraying Clorox, mold, and bleach spray in the washing machine, and it'll stop it for a while. There's no way that I can see how to get the agitator out of it. Do you have any suggestions?
Is your dishwasher or your clothes washer, is that a front loader or a top loader?
It is a top loader.
Okay. First off, one of the biggest things that we do as Americans is put too much detergent in there. That detergent gets stuck in various places and cakes in. There are cleaners for washing machines. on the market, hardware stores, run that through your washing machine if that's the washer. I doubt it. But the other thing I would do is in your laundry room, and I've seen pipes crack. I've seen cast iron pipes crack and rust. I've seen pipes that just weren't glued finally separate. And that gas smell is either a P-trap in the floor or a sink drain or something like that. It also can be just pipes behind the wall. The way to do that is to go to the grocery store and buy peppermint extract. And a plumber, I learned that on this show probably 25 years ago, a plumber called in and says, just go get some peppermint extract, dump it down the toilet, dump it down the drain, dump it in the sink. He said, and for you, you could actually dump it down the vent stack from the roof. You'd need to put a little bit of water down there to flush it down. And then you should not smell anything in that pipe at all. Anyway, so the peppermint extract is the way to go. Got to go, Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, KMOX.
Welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Sponsored by Reinhold Flooring.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, back together. Home Improvement Hour 2, lunchtime, middle of the day, middle of the country, middle of the KMOX dial. You can follow me anytime, any place, anywhere on your smartphone with the Audacy app. That is Audacy, A-U-D-A-C-Y, A-U-D-A-C-Y. That is the company that owns KMOX. They have a really nifty app or application, which is the thing you can download for your phone from the Apple Store or all the places that you can get that. Also, you can follow me on KMOX.com, our website, for direct, listen now. All of that takes me with you wherever you like, or you can run back through any podcast of virtually shows I've done for quite a long time going back in time. And you can mute me, which is a feature that my wife really likes. She's looking to have that mute button installed on my forehead so she can just push it right there on the, and I go quiet. It's kind of a nice feature. Anyway, so you can always mute and you can rewind 20. What did he say? What was the name of that thing he just said? Zip, 20 seconds back. Listen to zip, 20 seconds back. So all kinds of features on the Audacy app. My name is Scott Mosby. I've been around here on KMOX a long time, about 25 years, and I'm very proud of being part of the KMOX family. Look forward to my Saturdays, and you are the reason I'm here. The phone lines to put us together, my pledge, my help, my purpose of this show, KMOX's commitment to you as part of our family. We're here to answer your questions and help you take care of your homes, your businesses, your office, any kind of structure. Or maybe you have a really nice cardboard box that you live underneath a underpass. Whatever it is, there are ways to insulate even that, to block the wind, to kind of let the sun work for you. So wherever you live, and I mean that in all sincerity, is there are people for thousands of years that have been trying to gain shelter from the elements. Today is a perfect example, shade being one of our best friends today, and a little bit of breeze with the humidity. The humidity is pretty tough when you're standing still. Throw a little air movement in there. Ooh, all of a sudden you've got this cooling feature called evaporation that's part of our bodies. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Scott Mosby at your service. My day job is Mosby Building Arts. We're 75 years old and going from our second generation to our third. And if you have done business or do business with Mosby Building Arts, proud to be in the family with you. That's kind of how I'm looking at this, is really I'm the longer we go down the line in longevity as a business, the interests of the people I work with, our trade partners and our plumbers, electricians, our suppliers, all of our clients, and the municipalities we work with on building codes, we're all just kind of doing the same thing together, hopefully part of some sort of a system that delivers great stuff to people that want to live comfortably in their homes. So anyway, when I look at it that way, I very much have a community and family business feel about it, because I really can't tell you know, I can't tell us apart anymore. And I think that's a good thing because we're all in this together trying to figure this thing out in the best way for our customers. That's it. Whether you're in City Hall in code enforcement or zoning in code enforcement, we're all trying to make wherever it is we live better. That's it. Let's go to, right to the phone lines here and talk to some of my friends. Phone lines are lighting up. Let's talk to my buddy Tom. Hey, Tom, good afternoon. Welcome to KMOX, and thank you for joining me. How can I help?
Hi. I've got a two-part question about a bathroom remodel. It's approximately 300 square feet. I was wondering if there's a rule of thumb for a near high-end look. Is there a dollar amount for that you could kind of estimate what it would cost?
Is this a master bath?
Yes.
Yeah, 300 square. So generally, and it depends on what you're talking about. If you're just changing cabinets and floors and fixtures, you know, that's kind of what we call a facelift or what we at Mosby call right bath. It's just, you know, you're doing an update refresh to your bathroom. Then
hold on, I want to do a total remodel. I've got a four-person cultured marble tub, a four-foot fiberglass two-person shower. It's got tile floor that I want all ripped out, and it's kind of a economy bathroom when I had it first built 25 years ago. And this is the last room to remodel, and I want to put it up near what they call kind of a high end with your tile shower, the rain shower heads, and
Well. Frankly, that's what we call a design build bathroom. It's custom. It's driven by you, whatever you and your wife want. That's a whole different thing because you're updating electric, changing grounding. You know, your pipes get a little bigger. You're bringing the building code, the new, you know, maybe you use what I call the car wash shower or the multi-head shower bathing system, you know, as you're describing it. That's a whole different thing. There's no standard price for that. We had an estimator about 10 years ago that went through and tried to figure that out. And the problem is that the cost is so high per square foot for kitchens and bathrooms that, you know, for a kitchen, it was something like $1,300 a square foot because everything is expensive in a kitchen. So price per square foot doesn't really matter. When you get up to 300 square feet, you've got a pretty good amount of, I mean, most of your bathrooms are 60 square feet, 120 square feet. So your cost per square foot is actually going to come down even though it's a bigger bathroom. You still only have one tub. You still have two sinks. You still have, you know, maybe one toilet or, you know, if you go crazy, you get a bidet in there. So Tom, it's all individual. But you're in a different price range. But 300 square feet, you can get into a lot of trouble with 300 square feet. Meaning
good
things.
Oh, I'm not going to do it. I got a settlement check coming from an injury. But anyway, I have a question. To remove the ceramic tile, to remove that big culture shower, how long do you think the demolition should take and then finish remodeling? Oh. The last answer I got was 6 months, and I go, click, no, I'm not waiting 6 months not to have a bathroom.
Well, okay, so in my world of design build, and this is a great question, Tom, so thanks for bringing it. To do a project that big, you've got 3 months of planning ahead of you. What are you trying to do? What are the designs? Do you and your wife like this? Here's one of the, you know, and that's when you figure out what. Then you go fix your shopping for exactly which bathtub. So it's like being in grade school. If you have a test on Friday, typically you're going to study Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then the test is real easy. So my point is you better start planning this thing literally on paper because you're going to wind up with permits, you're going to have plan review, you're going to have inspections, all of that stuff. So the planning part is going to take generally about as long as it takes to remodel. So get started now. Starting time, lead times now, you know, Tom, with plumbing fixtures and the wonky world we're in, what used to take 2 months to get can be 4 to 6 months to get. And if we open up your the direct answer to your demolition is it takes about a day or two to tear your bathroom apart. Tearing stuff up, that's easy.
Yeah. Okay.
You know? Now, putting it back together, moving the plumbing for that tub you want, moving your sinks, you want this sink here, that sink there, 300 square feet, do you want a washer and dryer put in there? You know, a small stack that go in. Anyway,
no.
The point, with 300 square feet, you can do about anything, brother. That's what I mean is you can get in some real trouble. I mean, the meaning you can create some really cool stuff. but planning is going to take you about 3 months on site for 300 square feet. Once you have all the materials, you're going to be somewhere between 2 to 3 months. The promise would likely be four, because you can't double the number of people on a bathroom, or even on a kitchen. You know, sometimes your optimal crew is two people. If you put four people, it just means you stumble over each other and you actually go slower. So it's not, some of these things you can't, you know, supercharge with more people. But generally, okay, for a bathroom, a master bath, it takes us 3 to 4 months. You know, we're usually going to promise four, and that's after we have everything, which means that's 4 months after ordering everything. So basically, you plan all this stuff, you go shopping, you pick it all out. Okay, you sign a contract, and then it's basically 4 months after that is when the demolition starts. So you're talking, you know, you're like 9 months from completion, including design, plan review, permit, ordering, warehouse stockpiling that stuff, and then the construction. And that's what makes the on-site construction go fast, is doing the homework, just like for the test on Friday morning in grade school.
I do have one more question. Can Mosby come into Illinois?
Oh, yeah. Where are you in Illinois?
Okay. Brighton, Illinois.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're around.
Okay, if, so the other one contractor, I said, oh, he couldn't come into Illinois. So, okay, well, I'll give you a call when I get my insurance check.
Yeah, no, we're licensed in Illinois. Yeah. Well, okay, bring it on there. We love Brighton, Illinois.
All right, thank you, sir. You have a good day.
All right, Tom, take care.
Bye.
And there you go. There's the first, you know, what happens when you're talking about. Tom and I just had typically the first conversation on phone. That really sets up maybe appointment where we'd go out and talk to Tom. And it's not just Mosby. This is typically how most companies work. If they're not coming out to look at the bathroom, if it's all by phone, you know, that sooner or later somebody has to come and be on site. We're kind of old school in that, because we're literally looking for trouble. If we're remodeling a bathroom or a kitchen, we, you know, the electrical panel may be out of date. So here's your price for your kitchen, you know, say 30,000 or 40, whatever the number is. And then we get there. If we haven't done our homework and inspected your home, oh, your electric panel is out of date. That's another $4,000 or $5,000. Wait a minute. I just gave you all my money for my kitchen or my bed, whatever that project is. So it's kind of dependent on us to go do our homework, look for trouble, report to the homeowner, and, you know, let you know what's coming your way, because, you know, you call the pros, you know, we're supposed to know what we're doing. And that's kind of the point there. Let's go. You know what? I better take a short pause and come right back for more. Hold the line here. I've got some great callers. Hold on. We'll be right back after this on CamoX. All right, off and running, lunchtime, middle of the day, excuse me, middle of the day, middle of the dial, middle of the country, and my gosh, thermostat is not in the middle of the thermostat. We're getting to be a hot, 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 hot one today. Well, anyway, okay, just for giggles here, here's the weather forecast. Light rain and snow turning to ice later on as temperatures drop. Remember that? Yeah, that was 6 months ago. That was earlier in the season when it was winter. I just said that just to remind you that the pendulum here in St. Louis goes back and forth, summer, winter to summer to winter to, you know, and ever briefly, it seems like spring and fall, the pendulum just kind of sweeps through those a little quicker than others. Anyway, 314-436-7900, 436-7900. Next up, let's talk to my buddy Scott. Hey, Scott here. KMOX, how can I help you, my friend?
Hi, Scott. Hey, I just to back up what you just said. We're just finishing up our rather large master bath redo, and you're right, with the ordering and waiting and making sure everything's in before they start, you're right on target with your time frame. And then I'd add 2 weeks. So,
amen. Whatever you think it is, amen. I'm with you there.
Yeah, so that's not what I was calling about. This started a little bit before the remodel where we shut the water off, turn the water on, do the plumbing. But hearing sometimes in the middle of the night, you'll hear a pipe, you know, making noise. I don't know how to describe it. And then sometimes in the morning getting up, and when you first turn on the water, you'll hear the pipes down in the basement rattling. It's a fairly new house, and I said something to the plumber that was working here about a water hammer, and he said, well, no, it's not a water hammer. It's the pipe's warming up or something like that. But it's really only been happening for maybe the last 6 months, like I said, before we started this remodel. And I just didn't know if you had any thoughts or suggestions.
Yeah, well, if it's a new house, you likely have, you know, your supply pipes, and then you have PVC white drain pipes. The sound he's referring to, and I totally agree, think of a cup or a plastic pipe in the wall, and it's been, you know, the air temperature all night long, nothing's going through it. So then you turn on the water, you turn on the hot water, and a little bit of hot water drains through there. Well, now that pipe warms up a little bit, and it gets ever so small longer. And with that sound is more like a ticking sound, like tick,
yeah,
tick. That's the plastic pipe, just as he's describing. Indeed, as you add a little water to it, anything, you know, I mean, even cold water is warmer typically than what was all night long. And that pipe will get longer, especially when you shower. The issue is you tend to hear it in the morning when nobody else is moving. So you go in, you wash your hands, and all of a sudden everything else is quiet. You hear tick, tick, tick. And it's usually in the wall at that bathroom. It can move. And what happens is because of the fire codes, when we drill a hole through a 2x4 and run a plumbing pipe, you know, the code is that you can't really allow a fire in one 16-inch 2x4 stud pocket to move from that cavity to the next one. So we try to cut those holes very accurately to the size of the pipe. Well, then if you don't get them perfectly lined up, you're sliding that PVC drain pipe through those holes, and then they're pretty well wedged up, you know, next to the 2x4. Add a little bit of water, 6 o'clock in the morning, first get up and you wash your hand, tick, tick. So it's a little seismic, like an earthquake of the pipe rubbing against the framing. Nothing wrong with it, and everything's fine. It's hard to find. Even when you get that, typically we just cut Teflon sheets and then just slide them between the side of the 2x4. So sometimes we'll catch some of this stuff, but it has to be pretty big. You have to rip your walls apart to get to that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, no harm, no foul, and whoever your plumber is, they're doing a pretty good job, because you have a good one telling you the truth there. All right, thanks, Scott. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX, 314-436-7900. Next up, let's talk with Mary. Hey, Mary, good afternoon. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help?
Hi.
Hi.
First of all, the guy, the remodel's bathroom, we did that, and our bid split between $25,000 and $45,000.
Okay.
Depending on what we did. So, you know, you can't really judge that. And the guy with the noise in the pipe, they did that on this whole house just last week.
Oh, nice.
So I knew the answer to that one.
All right.
Okay, my question is, we have a small guest bathroom, and I want to replace the tub. It's a plastic tub with the plastic walls.
Okay.
I want to put a deeper tub in there and then, you know, surround it with tile.
Okay.
But I also want to put a horizontal window above the tile.
Yeah.
We don't have any window there now.
Okay.
And I was just wondering, could you put that window in for under $5,000?
The good news is yes. The bad news is you're talking about a full bathroom remodel. You're talking about, you know, because typically if you have a 5 foot wide bathtub or bathtub, you have a 5 foot wide bathroom as well. Well, those tubs don't come out and slide in because actually all the drywall and plaster and tile goes in on, so you have to rip all the walls out, in your case the plastic, the drywall, just to get that tub out. And then when you put the new one in, pretty much you need 2x4s, everything needs to be bare to get the new one in there as well. So when you get down to, when you're doing a whole bathroom, adding a window through and to the exterior, you've already done the demolition, you've already funded the tile around it, maybe you've got a little bit more tile edging and detail. So the reality is, once you've already funded a construction project, adding a window through an exterior wall is not that big a deal, because you're most of the tradesmen, we've already demoed the bathroom, we're looking at bare studs, propping it up, putting a header over there and cutting a window opening, you're pretty good. The only time you can get past $5,000 is if you're cutting a hole in a brick wall. Then you've got brick masons on the outside tile, so yes, the answer is yes, you can add a window pretty affordably. The bad news is you basically have to do a full-blown bath remodel for the price range you're talking about anyway.
Oh, I was hoping just to cut that tub apart and take it out in pieces.
Well, you can do that. The answer is yes on that plastic tub, but if you're putting in a deeper, bigger tub, how do you get the new one in, because you can't cut that one up in pieces? It goes in one big kaplump.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll do the other bathroom.
Yeah, I hear you there. Yeah, the answer is yes, and so your window would be very affordable. But getting to it in order to make it affordable, yeah, you're doing the whole bathroom, for heaven's sake. That's kind of the nasty thing about tubs and showers, and that's why there's so many of these plastic, bath fitter and things. They come in and they sit over the existing tub because you basically miss tearing the rest of the stuff apart, so your choice is, if you like plastic, that's your choice. So,
sorry. That's really bad news.
Well, I will say, now, that's for a tub. Shower bases go in a little bit easier than that because they're only 4 inches tall. So if you want to add a shower in that space, you can add a shower without obliterating the rest of your bathroom. You can literally pull that tub out, change it to a shower base. There may be a little plumbing waistline size changes, but a shower you can do what you're expecting, but you're not going to get a soaking tub that's deeper and yada yada yada. So shower yes, tub no.
Okay.
Yeah, this is where my wife likes that mute button on my phone.
Oh, because the other bad bathroom.
What's that?
Well, it's not a jacuzzi, but one of those tubs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I want to get that out. I want to get it. Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll buy a new house.
That is part, oftentimes doing a pretty good size remodel project, part of the homework is going to look for new houses. What are my choices? What is it, basically, what is it worth to me to remodel these bathrooms? Well, if I can avoid that mortgage on the new home or whatever, you're moving all the expense of that, all right, maybe that remodeling's starting to look a little more attractive. So believe it or not, you're kind of on the right path to do a pretty good size remodel. You really have to go looking for new homes and decide, will that, do what I want to do, or, am I better off just customizing the two bathrooms I want for me?
Our first house is 100 years old, and when we remodeled that one, we found out about, finding the antique stuff.
Yeah.
The second house was a complete build, and we learned about upgrade.
Yeah.
The third house was a custom-built house, and we learned about custom.
Yeah.
What that cost.
Yeah.
And now we're running contractor grade and replacing that.
Yeah, well, keep in mind, when you're remodeling a bathroom, you're basically buying a custom home in that bathroom. So when you're picking the faucet, you're picking the tub, you're picking the tile, you're basically, a bathroom remodel is largely custom. Unless you go to what we call with the facelift, or the industry will call a bobby, which is box, where you're just changing cabinets and tops and faucets. We at Mosby, that's our right bath. We've pre-selected 5 faucets and 5 tiles and 5 tubs and 5 things, that's trying to simplify the process. but it pretty much takes all that heavy custom time out because you can go pick out a whole bathroom in 2 hours.
Okay. So, well, I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, Cam Wex. Man, we are off and running in this second hour. So far, we're doing the noon hour on Cam Wex on bathrooms here, University of Kansas. And I love bathrooms. Bathrooms in my career went from, you know, a 5x7 bathroom, cast iron white tub, that, you know, incidentally, when you warm it up, you know, in good old St. Louis in the middle of the winter, it's a chunk of steel. There's iron in that thing. So you fill it up with hot water. It takes a while for that iron to warm up. So you don't put that hot water in and bathe. You know, it's pretty cold metal. So then they've come up with primarily for manufacturing costs and the labor cost of carrying a 300, 400-pound bathtub up the stairs, second floor, down the hall, through the door, you know, all that stuff. They've simplified to some of the different kinds of materials. The point being that so much has changed in fixtures, the labor it takes to install those fixtures, stocking, warehousing, and delivering, shipping costs. Now we're factoring in, you know, the diesel fuel for all of the trucks and the deliveries to bring remodeling and all the stuff to your home. The point being that all these things in the last 3 years, all those prices have just gone kaflooey. And you know, even I continue to be surprised at, you know, what things cost. Even a month out of line, it's like, wow, what happened to that? Well, there was a fire down in, you know, in a refinery down in South Part, or there was a freeze, you know, or whatever. We had a pandemic, all that stuff. Anyway, I'll take a short pause and come right back for more. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, Cam Wex, and I am at your service. All right, back together, Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, at your service, 50,000 watts. About 20 more minutes till we go up till 1 o'clock and top of the hour news, weather, and sports. Always interesting here on KMOX. We have a live-staffed newsroom. Many actual stations just don't. They just rebroadcast somebody else's newscast. Well, you know, Scott Jagel's here today. So we have real-life news, current and at your service, which is why you are part of the Cam Wex listening family. 314-436-7900 brings us together. Lots to talk about. We have your retirement professionals coming up right after this show, about 1:10 today. And the next hour, 2:10, Cards versus the Pirates pregame show right here on Cam Wex. Stay tuned. A good afternoon to stay inside at 90-plus degrees and humidity to match. It's a hot one out there today. Let's go talk to my friend Karen. Hey, Karen, Scott Mosby. How can I help?
Hello, Scott. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
my husband and I just built a house out in St. Charles last year around this time, around July. We moved in.
Okay.
We did not finish our basement. And I was wondering, does your company do finished basements?
Oh, yeah. Love finished basements. Yeah.
Oh. And we have kind of a two projects that we're looking at. We want to pour a patio. Also, we have a big backyard. My husband wants to cut back on some of that lawn work he would have to do. Do you all
sure.
do patios as well? Concrete?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And frankly, when you've got projects like that, it behooves you to actually add that into the project. What you kind of get out of that, frankly, is when you're doing something like a finished basement, you wind up with a designer that figures out how that goes and works with you on the products and the carpet or whatever flooring you want. But then you also have a project manager who comes to do that project. A patio... it's kind of a standalone project, but when you get a designer that's, you know, you pretty much paid for the designer that's already going to work with you on the basement. So, you know, working a little bit through the patio is, you know, the more projects you put together, the less costly each piece is for that. So you kind of get, you know, a project manager. Normally you're not going to oversee the patio, but what that means is, well, do you want some electric on your patio? Well, of course I do. I want to plug in this. I'm going to have a grill. I want to put some lights out there. Well, that all has to happen before the basement is finished so that you can run the wires out in the bare framing for the roof or the ceiling down in the basement. So all these things kind of interlap together. When you divide them up and separate, you don't get that overlap of somebody watching the store and a designer and a project manager to make sure, you know, the right electric gets out there. You know, by the way, it's like, well, you've got natural gas in the home with your furnace. How would you like natural gas for a grill out there? Oh, can I do that? Like, well, if we do it, you know, as part of the finished basement, yes, you can. So you poke the, you know, the iron pipe out there and the fitting, and now you just, you know, plug in your gas with a hose, you just turn it on, poof, now your grill is natural gas and you're not running to the hardware store to fill LP gas tanks anymore. So little things like that kind of come kind of stock and trade with how a project gets planned, designed, and managed. You know, you put a couple of things like that together, it really works out for the client. So yeah, we like to coordinate projects just for that idea where it's, you know, I mean, for example, putting that gas in, if you do it as part of your finished basement, you know, it may be, you know, $1,500. If you finish the basement and come back 2 years later when you do the patio, it may be $6,000 because now you've got to go back and rip out parts of, or you have to run it all the way around the house because now you finished the other part of the basement and, you know, all that kind of thing. So you bet there is a optimal flow to work and design.
So it's possible to plan a project and maybe do it in stages, like do the patio work first and with the intent being to follow up and do the basement finishing.
Yes, absolutely. That as long as the planning is all done, so you know you can you design for those three projects or five projects, and you know if you're planning on doing, oh, I don't know, maybe you want a special bathtub in the, you know, maybe in 7 or 8 years we're thinking of changing the bathtub. Well, let us know now before we finish all that basement that covers up all the plumbing and the electric over that bathroom. So if then how you stage it, well, we just want to do the patio this year. We'll come back. We're going to do the, you know, save our money for a few years. We'll come back. We're going to do the basement in a couple of years later. And then after that, you know, my husband might put in, you know, a golf driving range down. Okay, well, we just need to put a little electric in there when we're doing the basement for that. So, yeah, we call it a master plan. Tell us all of what you're thinking, because if you don't, then we don't have the opportunity to get things in the right order and optimize the money, you know, so that we don't have to tear stuff out to put, you know, stage two in. So master plan, tell us everything, let us design it, and then whether your sequence of how it is, and then, you know, with the designer, you kind of like, well, can we do the basement first? Yes, but we also, that means we need to know what you're doing on your patio, you know, because once we finish the basement, we can't get, okay, well, we want to do the patio first. Great, let's do all that. You know, yeah, it all works great.
I know your previous caller was asking about time frames. If we started with a patio, you know, we've gotten a couple of bids on patios that are estimated to be about 3 months before they could even start. Is that probably a feasible amount of time?
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the world we're in. Yes. You can get to it quicker. Typically, the less good contractors are more available. The good contractors, it's typically 3 months. So sometimes you want to beware. It's like, yeah, we can start in 3 weeks. It's like, oh, now I really have to check you out.
Right. And our basement, our house is like 2,500 square feet of stuff. Mm-hmm. Ranch style. So, thinking about that amount of space, what would you estimate a basement would probably cost us? With the, I guess the biggest thing we would be including would be a small bath down there. Probably
yeah. Well, that's a tough project to estimate over the phone because your basement also has to have an egress window. So there has to be a way in a fire that, say, your stairs are on fire. The people down in the basement still have to be able to get out. Well, putting an egress window right through a concrete wall out to a place where your patio might be.
We do have the egress because we just built it last. The house was just built last July.
Okay, so, good.
Yeah, it has to include an egress window in there. And I guess, like I said, the biggest thing is, and we're only thinking maybe about three rooms, a bedroom, a room for maybe a theater room, and then the rest probably just open for, like, you know, lounging. And
sure.
Like that.
Yeah. Well, your best way to do that is to go ahead and do the design, because then you get a real estimate. Anything I would tell you by voice here would be, you know, probably 40% accurate. Because once you go through the design and it's like, okay, I want it, knowing what you want that you're describing, well, I want a theater room and I need a bathroom and this, those are pretty easy to estimate. So your theater room is about this and your bathroom's about that and the open area is about. So sometimes you have a house that's 2,500 square feet. The optimal basement finish is 1,200 square feet or 800 square feet or whatever. So, you know, until you define the size, I promise you, for storage reasons, you will not finish 2,500 square feet of basement. We like storage.
Right. See what? Right.
Yeah, give us a call. We're happy to come and you know, talk to you about what can be and what the price ranges are, because standing in your basement and talking to you about what you want to do with that in the patio is pretty easy to figure it out then.
So would you guys come out, or would we need to come in to sit down and talk about it?
No, now we usually come out to look at you, because we want to see the gas lines, want to see the electric, want to see the egress window, and talk to you about what you know. So being there matters to us,
okay.
And then the option would be, okay, do you want us to design something? There's a separate design fee, like, you know, we're architects, and so you would pay first for that design, and then that design defines very clearly what, and then that's easy to estimate. So then you get estimates that are accurate.
Okay, sounds like a plan.
Yep, just like studying for the test. You just, you know, you figure it out, you study for it, and then, you know, the test is real easy and it goes well.
Right. All right, well, I'll pass that along to my husband and we'll certainly be in touch. Thanks so much for your show. I really enjoy it.
All right, Karen, take care. Bye. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX. Stay tuned. We've got a couple more phone callers. We're going to take a short pause for now. We'll be right back here on University of KMOX. All right to our phone lines here. Scott Mosby at your service. Let's go talk to my friend Tim. Hey, Tim, good afternoon. Welcome, KMOX. How can I help, sir?
I have an electrical issue. Whenever when my furnace or anything that draws a significant amount of power turns on, my lights seem to dim. I've gone through my fuse box or my breaker box and everything, tightened everything down. I was told it was a loose wire. I can't seem to find it. What should I do?
Well, two things. If you have, there's a way the electrician can put the breakers in the panel so that, for example, anyway, that will take those power draws. And I don't know whether the big breakers go at, typically, I think the big breakers go up at the top and the lighting and the small breakers for 120 volts go down at the bottom. But if you're on the edge, say, and I'm not going to say this is the issue, but I have had two homes that I've actually built over the years where they were the one of the last ones in the neighborhood. They were, you know, the neighborhood was filled and this was an infill lot. And the transformer just couldn't handle it. So the transformer was operating. So every time their electric furnace kicked on, it was drawing, you know, current from a transformer that just wasn't quite up to snuff. And at the time, Union Electric or Ameren came out and put a monitor on the electric panel in the house. And they can test what the voltage is. So 120 volts or 240 volts is kind of like how big is the pipe size to deliver the current. Well,
right.
When voltage drops, you just can't get the oomph, the power through that cable or transformer or whatever it is. So I would contact your utility, and this is not going to be easy because they don't like doing this. Sometimes they can monitor those things now with kind of the electric grid, the way they're doing it, they may be able to monitor your home electronically from their office. But I would check that out. If it's, I mean, normal lights dimming when things come on like that, that's not unusual. But, you know, if it happens all the time, you know,
it,
I think...
Yeah, it does. It goes almost completely out whenever when something comes on. This is a 1970s mobile home, and I've got 50-amp service.
Yeah, 50-amp service is pretty small. You may need a bigger service, frankly, because...
I don't,
you know, 50 amps is 50 amps is one hot tub.
Right.
You know, and you're running a whole house. I suspect you might be a little skinny on your electric service.
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine a couple years ago, but now it's going. I've changed transistors and capacitors and all kinds of stuff to try and fix it.
Now, they may have added another 10 homes on your loop, and if you're at the end of that electrical loop, you're getting leftover electric. So, you know, I'd talk to an electrician about the size of your service. They know the grid out there.
Okay. Well, excellent. Right. Thank you very much.
All right, Tim. Take care. Bye. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in. See you next week on Camo X.